The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
Keep on, keep on. Keep on, keep on. All right. Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. And welcome to all of our listeners this morning. Thanks for joining us here on Friday, March 28th. It's a nice, bright, sunny Friday morning. A little chilly out there. You might see some snow on the ground from overnight. As we talked about yesterday, we expect that will burn off pretty quickly. We won't see that for very long, but it is, as usual, springtime here in the Berkshires, and that's kind of what we expect. Some nice days and some snowy and cold and windy days. So that's okay. We've got a good show coming for you this morning. We have folks from the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention here. We'll have Sean Milley, the vice president of the board, and for a short time, we'll have Brian Burkle, president of the board of the coalition, and also an occasional host here on the program of Morning Drive. So looking forward to talking about them. They have a couple of events coming up that I'd like to talk about, and of course, to bring awareness of suicide prevention to the community, do a great job of that. So we will talk more about that to them in just a moment. First, let's get to the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Highs in the lower 50s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, rain. Night is cool with lows in the upper 30s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 80%. Saturday, cloudy. A chance of rain in the morning, then rain likely in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 50s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming west in the afternoon. Chance of rain 70%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, and I did hear that over the weekend there's going to be this kind of weird front coming through where sort of half of the region is going to get a cold, wintry day. And then if you sort of draw a diagonal line right around Albany and that way, the southern part of that is going to get a nice spring-like warm, sunny day. It's a very, very strange weekend. But I don't know what side of that front we're going to be on. I suspect we're going to get the nicer of the days and the cold stuff is going to go to the north of us. I'm not sure, but we'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
Living on the edge there.
Yeah, on the edge. Let's see. What happened? Do we not have your mic there, Brian? Let's talk to him.
All right.
Yeah, we're. How about you grab number 5 and we'll try that one?
All right. How about that?
There we go.
That's
okay.
Better.
Yeah. All right. So welcome again to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. And right now on the show, we have Brian Burkle. Brian is the president of the board of the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention. Thanks for joining me here this morning.
Yeah. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And lots of stuff going on with the coalition.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, you can come right here in this door. There we go. We've got Sean just arriving here. There you go. How you doing? All right. And we're going to have you sit right over here. There you go. All right. Live radio, everybody. That's great. That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
So joining us here in the studio now is Sean Milley, and he is the vice president of the board of the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Good. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Glad you could be here. And now we have both of our guests here. So we're just starting the conversation this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's give people an idea of sort of the scope of what the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention does.
Yeah. So we're actually we've got quite a few initiatives going on in the county. We've been around for about 15 years. So and we have a pretty solid board. And a pretty solid collection of volunteers who are passionate about getting the message out there about suicide prevention.
Mm-hmm.
Just to quickly go over some of the highlights of what we do a lot of outreach to the public. You'll see us at a lot of different events like First Friday, Apple Squeeze, Adam Street Fair, wherever we can. We try to get out there provide an opportunity to have conversations about suicide prevention and about wellness, and to provide resources. Mm-hmm. We are not a crisis line.
Yeah.
All right. So, and we're not therapists. You know, we're a coalition of people with different disciplines who've come together with either different backgrounds or experiences with suicide. And like I said, our mission is just to try to get out there and try to save lives, you know, through mitigating the number of suicides in the county through education. Mm-hmm. We do that in the we have a program called Talk Saves Lives, which a number of our members have been trained to do. It's about an hour-long PowerPoint conversation that is put together by AFSP, which is the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention. Mm-hmm. And it's a layman's version of what to look for, what you can do, that type of thing. So anybody can receive that message.
Yeah, I was going to say, who is the beneficiary of that? Yeah. Where do you go to give that message?
We go anywhere. Anywhere there's somebody that wants us to come. You know, we'll go to a church. We'll go to your civic group, community center. We'll go to a, you know, it's not really geared towards youth, the presentation. There's nothing in there that a youth couldn't hear. But it's more geared towards adults. Mm-hmm. Any setting we'll go to. You know, we've been to a couple other, like we've been down to the Railroad Street Project. We spoke with the staff there, for example, right? Mm-hmm. So that might be an example of something that we do. We talk to adult staff who deal with youth so that they can have some insight as to what to look for and so forth. And,
those are
our main things. We also have a thing called the LOSS Team, which is a national program. And you can it's not a franchise. Right, so you can meld it to work how it works for you, and that's what the L in LOSS is. It's local. It's local outreach to suicide survivors, and what happens there is when someone has died by suicide, and we learn of that, then we are put in touch with the newly bereaved family members or whoever might be closest to that loss to reach out to them. One of those responders in that loss team is someone who themselves has also lost somebody. Mm. So that there's that that understanding, you know.
Yeah.
But those are some of our bigger programs. I'm sure Sean will get into a few other things.
Yeah.
One other thing that has come up just recently, though, is that our coalition is one of five in the state that has been brought into the Garrett Lee Smith Award grant, and which is geared towards suicide prevention for youth. And it's a 5-year project that we've been brought in on, and we have a team of five people. Most of them are from our coalition. We have somebody from the district attorney's office who's joined our team as well. And we just had a 2-day boot camp, if you will, last week in Worcester, where we went over what's expected of us. And a big part of our next step is to come up with a strategic plan to put those initiatives into place, reaching out to the schools, getting the schools involved, youth groups involved. So that's the Garrett Lee Smith grant that we've been awarded.
And so tell me about the reason why the grant is so important in that particular demographic, because people may not realize the real difficulty in that cohort, if you will, that youth cohort, right? That's a very, very vulnerable population to suicide. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, certainly a vulnerable population. Actually, the population, the demographic actually that is at highest risk of suicide is actually middle-aged white men.
Really?
So
that doesn't bode well for this panel.
Right. But that is demographically, that is the highest risk. However, we don't want to dismiss any other one. And youth are very high as well because there's so much going on. A youth growing up, there's a lot to deal with already.
I think I read on the coalition's website that it's the number two cause of death in people that are 10 to 24 years old, right?
Exactly.
That's striking.
For that age group, that is very high, yes. Yeah. This grant is focused on people up to the age of 24. It used to be a focus of 10 to 24, but they've expanded it to include children under 10. Mm-hmm. Because sadly, we're finding that there's even greater struggle there than was really recognized earlier.
That almost seems impossible to comprehend, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Someone younger than 10 would consider that or would have the means to do that.
Right.
I don't know.
So the focus in that age bracket, the under 10, is probably going to be, I would imagine, it's going to be more about wellness and being able to, you know, have someone to talk to and, you know, dealing with your feelings, you know, mm-hmm. as opposed to getting to some of the more adult or mature topics of, yeah. of the suicide prevention. Yeah. But
so what will
we
want
to make sure they're included.
What will the grant be able to provide for the coalition? What kinds of things will you be able to do with this grant?
Well, we're hoping money. We were given a number at this thing last week, but of course it's federal granting.
Mm-hmm.
That's federal grant. So that could be up in the air.
Yeah.
So they were hopeful that it will come through. I don't know if the check's already been deposited per se, you know, but it's questionable as to how much we'll get ultimately, but with that money, it would be to initiate programs, have presentations. You know, we could rent out a place, provide some services for people. You know, a big thing for getting adults, especially parents, to come to presentations about suicide prevention is providing things like childcare at that event,
mm-hmm.
some kind of entertainment for the kids so that the parents can come after school and then, you know, the kids can get fed and entertained and they don't have to get a babysitter. That's always a big hurdle for parents mm-hmm. to attend things after school. So hopefully that money would help offset some of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a big difference when you can try and provide those services for people who are probably having a difficult time as it is, you know, with all the demands that are on people these days, just
right.
to make that work.
So I'm going to step out.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. We knew that Brian had another commitment this morning, and we appreciate you being able to come in and start off the show with us here and tell us some of the great things that happened. We're going to be continuing the show with Sean here.
You're in good hands.
So we have one Sean on one side of the board and Sean on another side of the board.
Yep. All battle right. of the Seans.
Thank you, Brian.
All right,
good
thanks.
Talking to you.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you next time you host the show.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Sean Milley, thanks again for being here this morning and discussing this with us. I do hear that you guys will be having a fundraiser in April. Maybe you could tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so traditionally we have not had many fundraisers. The number one fundraiser that has occurred in Berkshire County has actually been Purgatory Road. That has happened in Dalton, Massachusetts, typically around the CRA.
Okay. Tell me about that then, because I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah. So it typically takes place in October, mm-hmm. And all of the proceeds from the Purgatory Road go to suicide prevention efforts for youth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, going back to youth being a huge demographic affected by suicide.
Right.
You know, that was a great partnership that we got started with. And, you know, so Purgatory Road in the past took place at the Dalton CRA in the woods. They have like a walking path there.
Mm-hmm.
And it
why do they call it Purgatory Road? I'm going to want to know.
I don't remember why it is called that.
Okay.
But
that's
it is
the name of the event.
Correct. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it is a haunted, we'll say, walk through the woods.
Okay.
Each year there's a theme, you know, and it's a fun all ages kind of activity. And again, you know, the root cause behind it, raising money for suicide prevention.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we found a need for, you know, obviously more funding mm-hmm. to support different programming. And so we had decided to hold a square dance fundraising event.
Hmm.
Which will be on April 25th at the Stationery Factory in Dalton, Massachusetts.
Great.
And so the event will start with a resource fair from 4 to 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Of some of the community organizations part of that, Convenient MD, Greylock Federal Credit Union, and BCAC are three of our top sponsors.
Okay.
But, you know, part of suicide prevention, you know, is providing resources and not just mental health resources, right? Many, many factors play into mental health in general.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when we think of resources that we want to provide, it, like I said, it's not just therapy. You know, we reach out to many different organizations because there's many reasons, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it's financial reasons, support for the family, personal supports as well, or just even activities or other ways to relieve stress mm-hmm. and kind of tend to yourself.
Yeah. Well, and some of the things that Brian just talked about too, where, you know, what does the money go to and what kinds of things can you provide? Just the idea that if you want to get someone in the room and get that information to them or get those resources to them, they're going to have other needs. And he mentioned childcare and things like that. So, you know, it makes sense that you have to have some resources to be able to provide that, right?
Yes. And also, you know, speaking of resources, you know, there's a lot of underlying costs that come with that, printing, finding the materials, you know, and in many cases we have to order them and have them mm-hmm. sent to the Berkshires. Mm-hmm. You know, one project we are working on for resources is actually creating a brochure for Black mental health and support.
Mm-hmm.
We ran into, you know, a lack of available resources out there. And, you know, I have many close friends and loved ones within the Black community. And I think of one of them coming to an event that the coalition is at mm-hmm. and they need help at that moment. And there's nothing there, you know, or just, you know, we want to provide more than just websites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to send you away. We want to try and help you
yeah.
if we can. So direct you in a place that maybe somebody can help.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a project that we're working on. But back to the square dance.
Yes. Which sounds like a fun way. You know, when you're doing a fundraiser, you got to have some fun.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, raising awareness, you know, can be done through a fun community event, something like square dancing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we reached out to, you know, the Stationery Factory and some other local organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually have paired with Square One and Cliff Broder. They have
yes. the gold standard of square dancing here in Berkshire County.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So, you know, that was a great partnership mm-hmm. to start. And, you know, it's going to be a great evening. There will be dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be a spaghetti dinner. And that is catered by Berkshire Culinary Group.
Okay.
And then following the dinner, there will be 2 45-minute square dancing sets with a break in between. But, you know, aside from that, we'll have some games. There will also be a raffle there with some amazing prizes. Hmm. And yeah, everybody should definitely check it out. Should be a good night.
Yeah. So about square dancing, I would imagine in the population these days, there are not very many people anymore who have that sort of built in, right? They're not going to show up and say, well, just follow me. I know what I'm doing. There's not going to be a lot of those. So the people who don't know anything about square dancing, they're obviously welcome there. And are they going to get a little like pep talk, some training? How are they going to get through those 2 square dancing sets?
Yeah, so there will be some instructions, you know, provided, but there will be some individuals that are, experienced, mm-hmm. but people that have done it before that
a
can
Sherpa?
Help.
Are we going to have a square dancing Sherpa?
more like a personal tour guide through the experience.
A square dancing influencer,
yes,
perhaps?
Yes, that is a great way to put mm-hmm. it. But yeah, you know, it's funny. I've mentioned this event to many people, and the common response is, gee, I haven't done that since I was in elementary school.
Yeah. Or sophomore year of high school and for gym class.
Exactly, yeah. You walk into an empty gym and then you find out that you're going to be doing square dancing.
Yes.
But, you know, it is also an event for all ages.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, all ticket prices are $25 a piece.
Okay.
Adult tickets at the event will be $40.
Mm.
You know, so we do have the event posted on our website. www.berkshirecoalition.org.
Okay.
It's also listed on the Stationery Factory event page as well.
Great.
But if anybody has information about or wants information about the event or wants to participate in some way, feel free to email info@berkshirecoalition.org.
Great. And again, that's going to be at the Stationery Factory on Saturday, April 25th.
Friday, April 25th.
Friday, April 25th. From what time to what time again?
So the resource fair will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Okay. And the square dancing dinner event will be from 5 to 10.
And if anybody hasn't been to the Stationery Factory for an event, that's quite the kind of a nice venue for this particular thing, especially talking about the sort of the, you know, the resource fair ahead of time with booths and tables and things like that, right? You're mm-hmm. probably going to have quite a few of those, and then being able to sit down and then also having a large enough space to do square dancing, because, you know, again, I think about a gym. that you kind of need a large space because there's a lot of moving parts to square dancing. Right?
Yeah. There's definitely plenty of room. We have all three of the rooms reserved. So there is the large ballroom where the square dancing will be taking place. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it will not be in a gymnasium or, let's say, a cafeteria.
Yeah, there you go. So big event there, and raising money for a good cause for the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention. And we'll remind people of that later on in the show for folks that are joining us late this morning. But this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield. This is Sean Sayre here with you this morning, live and local in our studio with Sean Milley. He is the vice president of the board of the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention. So as Brian Burkle talked about when he was here briefly, and he sort of set the table for our conversation a little bit this morning, the coalition is not a crisis line of any kind, right? You're not going to call a coalition if you're in crisis. What do you do if you or a family member or someone you know is at that point of crisis? What's the very best advice you can give?
So, you know, if you are in a situation where you are worried about a loved one, you know, of course, ideally, before getting to the point of needing to find resources, you know, the number one thing is to try and check in with that person. Mm. Make sure that they know they have support available. Mm-hmm. You know, whether they're comfortable coming to you or not, putting yourself out there as a resource is the best thing that you could do. Mm-hmm. But if it gets to the point where, you know, you're concerned and you're worried, there are a few easy ways to reach out for help. Mm-hmm. The number one way is to text or call 988. Mm. That is a national suicide support line.
Yep.
The thing about that is when you call or text, you reach a person, a real person. Mm-hmm. It is not automated. And they are able to assess the situation.
Yep. And I'll tell you, too, that it's very well programmed into a lot of sites. For example, this morning, as I was getting ready to start the show, I Googled the coalition's website. And the first hit that comes up on Google is not your website. The first hit is, are you in crisis? 988. And it shows it right there. So, you know, Google has the algorithm planned out pretty well. And then a couple hits down from there was the coalition's website. But obviously, that is probably the number one thing that if someone feels like they're at that point of crisis, that is the easiest. And what happens at a local level when you're dialing 988? Are you getting to someone local, or are you talking to someone national first and then something else connects? What happens with that?
That's a good question. And you know, I wanted to start with the national you know, number.
Sure.
Because
yeah. It's easy too.
It's easy. Mm-hmm. It's similar to the number we're all familiar with.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it just because I don't want to confuse any numbers. but what not the people on the line at 988 do is, first of all, they make sure that they know where you're calling from.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing to remember with a hotline, you call in and they're going to see the number coming in and they're going to identify that area code with a certain place.
Mm-hmm.
But that may be a cell phone that you got, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, making sure that they know where you are. It's not like they're going to tag you and identify you, but they want to know where you're calling from and what resources to provide to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, you have numbers on hand, which, you know, you'll see familiar lines like the crisis line, mm-hmm. the crisis hotline. That is a local resource through the Breen Center, they are available 24/7 to help individuals. And so, you know, if you are in crisis for mental health or suicide, you know, definitely reach out to either 988 or the Breen Center's crisis hotline. And that the crisis hotline number at the Breen Center is 1-800-252-0227. Okay. And again, both of these are staffed 24/7. And just please remember, you know, there's no judgment with these things.
Yeah.
You know, they're here to help. They want to help. So if you are struggling, you know, definitely reach out to one of these. You know, on our website, we have many, many different local resources, not just mental health as well. Like earlier I mentioned, so many things can factor into struggles with mental health. So on our website, we also have resources for substance use disorders. We have resources like places like Elizabeth Freeman Center here in Pittsfield. You know,
and the reason is that they're connected in many ways, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, we're all connected. We're all connected to suicide. Yeah. It has affected many of us in many different ways. But, you know, getting help from one of these organizations may be that piece that can help keep our community with us.
Tying it to substance abuse, for example, you know, there are some interrelations there, right? And one area can lead to another. If you're not getting support in one of the other areas, you could be going down this road. So how important is that kind of support as well before it leads to, you know, someone considering, you know, taking their own life?
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, the most important thing is knowing the person that you're worried about. You know, you reaching out to them and knowing what their struggles are. If you don't know that an individual is struggling with mental health and substance use, or they're worried that they're going to lose their home or they can't find childcare for their kids, you know, all of these things can add up and then it's too much. So, you know, the most important thing is to do something before it's too much.
Yeah.
So, you know, checking in with your loved one. You know, if you're noticing that there's, you know, an increase in substance use, you know, have a conversation. A lot of these programs that are out there for mental health and suicide prevention and just support in general is about talking. And that's the number one thing you can do to help someone is talk or more so listen. You know, many of us struggle with things and it's important to have an outlet to go to. And unfortunately, in situations with suicide, people feel like there's nowhere to turn to. And that's one of the things that we really push for is that you can turn to us. If you are struggling, we will help you find some help. You know, whether it's directing you to the Breen Center or the crisis line or even, you know, directing you towards a community organization for you to get involved with.
Yeah.
So you have a network of people around you to support you.
And luckily, we do have those organizations and those agencies that do provide that help and that are trained in those areas, right? And I went back to thinking about 988 for a minute and how the folks on the other end of the line must really have a significant amount of training to know that when they're picking up that call, there's someone probably desperate on the other side and their only job is to, you know, help them out at that moment, at that very peak moment. What kind of training would you imagine that they must receive to do that?
So, you know, a lot of the hotlines have they're volunteers. So, you know, they luck out at sometimes getting volunteers that are mental health professionals, you know, so that's great. But a lot of the people that participate in, you know, whether it's 988 or even, you know, other hotlines, there are trainings, you know, a lot of it is about, you know, managing a crisis, you know, being able to use the right words, you know, vocabulary, communication's huge. And talking about suicide and talking it in a wrong way can be even more detrimental to someone. So, you know, just
it's a tough balance, right?
Yeah, it's tough balance. But with any of these things, there is training. And it's not just a one-day thing. You know,
I would imagine.
There's an extensive training to get people able to properly help someone.
Well, and again, that's, you know, the purpose of the coalition, the Berkshire Coalition for suicide prevention is really awareness, right? Mm-hmm. That's the number one thing that that your group does.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons why you're on here today and we're talking about it today, because, you know, when you don't talk about these things, they don't ever get better, right? Mm-hmm. You get some information out to people, you get something that they can use, and they eventually will be able to talk more freely about it and maybe get some help.
Yeah, and you know that it's interesting how you say it like that, because still suicide is almost like a dirty word. Mm. You know, some people are not comfortable talking about it, and unfortunately, not talking about it is not going to make it go away.
No, in fact, probably it will do the exact opposite. Right?
Exactly, mm-hmm. talking with our loved ones, mm-hmm. and checking in. That's very important to suicide prevention.
Yeah. Difficult as it is, but that's what we're doing here today, and we will be back. We're going to take that top of the hour break right now that we always do on the show, and thank our underwriters and give station ID and other great things. Sean Milley is my guest here for the rest of the show. He is the vice president of the board of directors of Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention, and we will talk more about kind of the signs of suicide, what you should be looking for if you have a loved one or a friend maybe close to crisis, and what types of things you can do in your life and your circle to help those people. We're going to talk about that in the second half of the show. Also remind people about the Square Dancing fundraiser that the Coalition is putting on, and that's April 25th starting at 4 p.m. over at the Stationery Factory in Dalton. So we'll talk again about that. First, let's go to our break. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. We'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available, all free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Need help with a new device? PCTV's Digital Navigator can match you with a free laptop, desktop, tablet, or hotspot from our available stock, thanks to the Alliance for Digital Equity. We'll also assess if your current device is worth fixing or ready to recycle. Get a free consultation at PCTV 4 Federico Drive, Pittsfield, or call 413-445-4234. Brought to you by PCTV and the Alliance for Digital Equity, keeping communities connected.
Hello, Phil Tierney here, the host of Berkshire Jazz, where I play all the young tigers and old lions of jazz every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 on WTBR 89.7, Pittsfield Community Radio. Join me Saturday at 8. And if you know someone who likes and enjoys this great American classical music, tell them about us. Spread the word. Jazz is alive and well on WTBR 89.7. Thanks for listening.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show here on Friday, March 28th, and it's a nice, bright, sunny day out there today. Welcome to Morning Drive, or welcome back, I guess I should say, to Morning Drive, and we have Sean Milley with us for the rest of the show. He is the Vice President of the Board of Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention. I'm going to talk more about that organization, what they do, the awareness that they help get out to the community, and also some of the fundraisers that they've got, one specifically in April that will help them with the mission of the things that they do. So you will definitely want to participate with that. First, let's get to the weather forecast one more time and find out what we have in store for us today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Highs in the lower 50s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, rain. Night is cool with lows in the upper 30s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 80%. Saturday, cloudy. A chance of rain in the morning, then rain likely in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 50s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming west in the afternoon. Chance of rain 70%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And there was just a light coating of snow this morning when I got out to my car. I don't know if that's still there. I'm looking out our window and I don't see any white stuff. So maybe that's it. And who knows? Maybe that'll be the last white stuff you see this season. Certainly anything that we got overnight is going to be gone pretty soon. 50s today and rain over the weekend. Kind of a weird weather weekend, it sounds like, for some folks in the region. Maybe not for us, but... when we get to late March, early April, we start to put winter in the rearview mirror and start looking forward to spring. I'm sure a lot of us are doing that. So back to our discussion here with Sean Milley. Thanks again for being here today, Sean.
Thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. Do you find that you think seasonal changes, the weather, darkness in the winter versus, having a nice bright summer and lots of light, does that affect people's moods and maybe suicidal ideation? Is that a factor for people?
It is. Seasonal affective disorder is definitely a huge factor in mental health. There are plenty of studies out there that does show that, extended periods of darkness and isolation, and we saw a rise of that during the pandemic as far as isolation goes. Mm-hmm. And, that is a huge, huge thing with suicide is feeling isolated, feeling alone. And, if you look out the window and it's dark, you don't feel like going outside and you haven't seen anyone for quite some time. Right. That could be huge. But yeah, seasons definitely change. Mm-hmm. But then you also see, positivity return once, like you mentioned, the white stuff disappears.
And, the pandemic was, I'm sure, just devastating to people in so many ways, mainly because, for people who wouldn't have been isolated normally, now it's really being forced upon them for that, looking back, kind of a brief period of time. Mm-hmm. At the time, it didn't look very brief, though, did it?
No.
It looked like we didn't know when we'd be getting out of that. And, 5 years later, we have a little perspective on it. But that probably figured in also is the sort of the idea that it's out of our control, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And also, the pandemic created, isolation, mm-hmm. but it also intensified people that were already isolated.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So something like that, things got worse much quickly or quicker, and it was very hard for some people to adjust to.
Yeah. So let's just go into what signs, what to look for if you are, say, a loved one, a parent or a sibling or a friend, a close family friend or a relation or whatever, and you sense that someone might be needing some assistance or might be thinking about suicide. What types of things can you look for? And then we'll talk about what you can do.
Sure. Yeah. And something to remember, that there are similar warning signs for adults and youth, but with youth also, maybe a little trickier. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So for instance, both for adults and youth, if especially following something impactful that happened to them.
Okay. Yep.
You know, if they're starting to talk about suicide, maybe, or talking about a plan, which is much further down the road, you want to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you can't just brush it off.
You don't want to just brush it off as somebody having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
Because this might have been a 50th bad day of this person.
And then
you know?
They're finally telling someone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing wrong with checking in with someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you hear somebody making these comments, or even you see a change in their attitude, their behavior.
Yeah.
And not
what kind of changes might you be looking for?
Well, you know, I'm not saying, you know, you're at work and your boss says something to you and you don't like it. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the day, you're kind of off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you notice that this loved one is not their cheerful self anymore or not their regular self, you know, I don't always show the most jubilant emotions,
yeah.
but you know, a loved one of mine would know if I'm acting differently and for an extended period of time, too. You know, you know if it's a bad day or if it's something that's lasting longer.
Okay.
So check in. Mm-hmm. And if that loved one says, I'm okay, I'm, you know, great. Mm-hmm. But that's a sign for you to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to note these things that might be off about a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And check in because, okay, they say that they're not struggling and that everything is okay.
Yeah.
Perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great situation to be in. But you might catch that person on a day where they are really struggling and they will say, yes, I am. I don't want to go on, you know? And there are words like that, you know, that you hear that, ask. Even if it's a coworker.
Yeah.
You know, you may not be close with this coworker, but check in.
Yeah, I think people can be intimidated to ask though, right? Because they don't know if they want to open that Pandora's box.
Right. But then you open that box and down the road, that person will remember that you asked.
Mm.
And that's important. That
might be the thing that helps.
Yeah, that may be
make
something
a better decision.
Yeah. Oh my God, Sean. Yeah. Asked about it and you know what, I'm gonna text him, I'm gonna call him or whoever it is, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing is to know a change in someone's behavior. And you know, like I mentioned with youth, you know, it may be a little trickier.
Yeah.
But some things to look out for youth, you know, change, like being more withdrawn from social situations if they are, you know, they're not so interested in their sports activity or their extracurricular.
Okay.
Or,
They're pulling back from
mm-hmm. things and friends, you know, little Bobby always likes to spend the weekend with his best friends, and now he doesn't want to see his best friends.
Yeah. And sometimes you won't know necessarily that there was a big event of some kind that happened, right?
Right. As a youth.
and big, you know, we put it in quotation marks because as adults, you know, we've got a few experiences under our belts and we know what things are, you know, pretty bad and some things that are like, oh, that's transient. That's going to go away. I'll feel better about that tomorrow. Sometimes with the youth, you know, something feels big and that might be feeling like the end of the world.
I was just going to say that, you know, as a somebody that was a youth myself, you know, the things that were important.
Weren't we all?
Yeah. The things that were important back then, you know, were important.
Yeah.
And
of course.
And you shouldn't take away from that.
No.
You know, a young love is different than an adult love, but it's love nonetheless, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it meant something.
Yep. Could be bullying at school.
Bullying is a huge thing with youth, and you know, even changes in this, you know, in their social situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, friends are huge for young people, and you know, let's say an individual changes schools for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Now their support group is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like moving away from home for the first time when you're 8 or 10.
Yeah, no, that can be a radical change.
Yeah, you know,
and very upsetting. I always think about military brats, for example, the ones that have to follow their, you know, father or their mother who's in the military, and they get reassigned all across the country, or maybe sometimes in foreign countries. And every 1 or 2 years, they're picking up and, you know, having to readjust. Now, maybe that you build up a little bit more of a veneer over doing that multiple times, but it's still, when you lose your support system like that, I would imagine that that must be, you know, something difficult to deal with.
Yeah, you know, and that's it too. You know, support. You know, that's the other thing that the coalition, you know, aside from awareness, is support. And like Brian had mentioned earlier, you know, majority of us are not in the mental health field.
Right.
But the support that we are offering is an ear to listen, you know, a shoulder to cry on, a place to turn to so you don't feel isolated or alone.
Yeah. And, you know, I would imagine that's great also for, it's a healing process for folks who have lost somebody that way as well, is to be able to turn that back around and say, I'm going to help someone due to, you know, the experiences that I've had.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, many of our board members have lost someone or have a connection in some other ways. And, you know, it's also the dedication to the cause.
Yeah.
You know, I've been asked many, many times why I've gotten involved with the coalition. And, you know, I haven't had a close loved one die by suicide. But, you know, I've had this, the situations around me. I've heard of, you know, friends that have passed that way. I was in college, and a college student, not a close friend of mine, but somebody that I was in college with, had died by suicide. And it was a shock, you know, and at the time I thought, wow, that's really bad.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't understand how it actually affected me. And many years later,
at the time you didn't understand the underlying, you know, causes or what would have led someone to do that. Right. If you're not in that headspace, and something like that happens and it kind of rocks your world a little bit, you're like, why didn't I know what was going on, or why didn't I understand that myself?
Yeah, right. And I think, you know, more than that, it was almost like, well, that's never going to happen to me. And I feel like many people say that, but it's hard to tell, you know, what factors could play into, you know, affecting mental health and affecting how you feel.
Yeah. Sean Milley is my guest here. If you're just joining us on the program, this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and also 88.1 WSBR in Lee. And we are talking about the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention. Sean Milley is the vice president of the board. And again, let's just throw out there that if you are in crisis, the very first thing you should do, you've got a number. It's
988.
Yeah.
And that number you can text or call, and you will be connected with a professional that can assess where you are and hopefully put you in touch with some resources. Yep. Locally.
If you're not immediately in crisis right now, but you want to reach out to someone who can help, I think you mentioned the Breen Center.
Yeah, yeah. So if you don't need immediate, or if you are in immediate and you need immediate attention, you know, reach out to the Breen Center's crisis hotline at 1-800-252-0227.
And so the coalition, again, awareness is kind of your number one thing, getting out there and talking about the subject, which historically has been difficult for people to talk about. And many times, I'm sure, generations previous, it was if something had happened in a family, it was just not discussed, right?
Yeah, and
it was buried.
It was buried. And it's interesting you say that, because the coalition does participate in a lot of community events not sponsored by us. But, you know, we table at these community events and we talk to people from varying levels of where they are in life, you know, and we've heard similar things like that. But then also speaking to younger kids and some of those conversations that we've had, you know, there's an awareness, but then it ends there.
Yeah.
You know, it's great that we're causing an awareness, but it'd be even better if we could end suicide.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
You know, and I heard Brian before he left say that the number one demographic that is vulnerable to suicide is the middle-aged white guys. So, and I wonder where that statistic comes from. But then I also wonder, well, okay, why? Why is that particular demographic something that you would want to, you know, be concerned with? Why?
So, yeah, so that's it's a great question. And you know, that demographic is at the point in their life where they have means and they know how to use those means, you know, and that's, you know, whether it's,
but where is it in life where they've decided that that is the point that they're at?
Well, you know, that's the thing, you know, it doesn't matter where you are in life. It's what's affecting them at the moment. But as an adult man, versus maybe a young child, there's much easier, there's much more closer means to you know, approach suicide.
Yeah.
And it's tough, you know? And then that sort of thing also increases if maybe it's a rural area. You know, a lot of adult men also work in very stressful jobs. That's, you know, work. Work is something that can play into your mental health. And, you know, construction, farming, these big kind of trades that traditionally are held by, and not only anymore, but, you know, those types of careers are going to impact your mental health much more.
And then there are areas, as you mentioned before, you know, substance abuse, mental health. I would imagine gun safety is another thing that is tied to this somehow.
Yes. You know, gun safety is also very important when speaking of suicide prevention, you know, and think, you know, we at a lot of our events, we hand out gun locks for the cabinets.
Nice.
And people kind of look at us. Well, why? What? I have one, or I don't even need this. But the amount of time that it takes for somebody to unlock a gun cabinet is enough time to reconsider the act that they are considering.
Okay.
You know, so that's it, you know. And
obviously the gun safety isn't just for the gun owner. It's for anyone who might have access
correct
to that firearm.
Yes, you know, say it,
now you may not know that they have access to the firearm, but that it's there and they're within, you know, getting distance.
And that's a great point, you know, and talking about means, you know, means change if you are a child in a house with a gun, you know, but it's also no different than an adult being in but it could also be there's many different, you know, things, but you know, gun safety is important. You know, and locking up a gun is a great way to remove that one method.
Right, and it's a all this sort of ties together. It isn't one you know, straight line between A, B, and C here, right? There's lots of different moving parts.
Yeah, it's never just one thing. Like we've talked about, we've talked about age, we've talked about sex, we've talked about location, job, mental health. All of these things combine to one.
And so let's go back and talk about the fundraiser, because we're getting actually pretty close to the end of the show, and we want to make sure that people know that the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention is there as an advocacy group, and you know, you're making awareness available in the community for these things. Talk about that event again at the Stationery Factory that's coming up.
Yes. So April 25th, it's a Friday, at the Stationery Factory in Dalton, Massachusetts, we're holding a square dancing dinner fundraiser. And the event in its entirety runs from 4 p.m. until 10 p.m. From 4 to 6 p.m., we'll be holding a resource fair that is free to the public. We have many different organizations, including Convenient MD, and actually at this, Love of Tea, and QMob, which is Queer Men of the Berkshires. So, you know, we have some varying organizations there providing different resources, because like we said, there's so many different things that combine into, you know, what could possibly lead to suicide.
Right.
But starting at 5 o'clock is when the doors open for the square dance and dinner event. Tickets are currently $25 for adults and children. However, at the day of the event, adult tickets will be $40. The tickets involve dinner and also entrance into the square dancing part of the night, which will be two 45-minute sets of square dancing led by Square One and Cliff Broder. Aside from that, we'll have some games, fun area to take photos, and also a raffle with over 21 prizes so far. Right.
So not a bad way to spend a Friday night overall.
Not a bad way to spend a Friday night at all, especially
doing some good work and contributing to a good organization.
Definitely.
I understand you have a walk or a race coming up in the summer. Is that starting to take shape right now?
So we are working on a few events in the summer. One is working on a 5K race with the Berkshire Running Center. And details are kind of, working out with that. But we do have another community event coming up in September.
Okay.
And I note this because it's with another amazing mental health organization called Love of Tea.
They've been on the show as well.
Yep. Luke is great, and I think that they have. But we both, as organizations fueled by ending suicide, want to put on a day-long community event centered around suicide, but also bringing the community together, raising awareness, coming together and supporting one another. So that event will actually be Saturday, September 13th at Burbank Park, also known as Anoda Lake, which is what I know it more of. We will be having a live performer, but also activities for children, including face painting.
Nice.
Yes. It'll be a great day. but also, the day begins with a memorial walk for those we lost to suicide. And it will end with a candlelight vigil.
Burbank Park is actually a really great place for that.
Yes. Too. And it would be, it looks to be like a great evening for community to come together and support each other.
Great. So remember that. Put that in your calendar now. The date again in September, do you know?
September 13th.
September 13th. It will still feel like summer by September 13th.
It will.
But it sounds like a great event. And again, raising awareness of suicide prevention here in the Berkshires. A great organization that you guys are a part of, serving the entire area, Berkshire County, right?
Yep.
Not just Pittsfield. Again, this radio station is heard in South County as well as Central Berkshire and Pittsfield. So anyone within the earshot of my voice right now should be able to hear that and hopefully come and attend these events.
Awesome.
Yeah. Any last thoughts that we didn't cover here this morning that you'd like to talk about?
I'd just like to say, though, we are always looking for new members to join us. We're looking for volunteers, and volunteer could be something as simple as reposting our social media.
Yeah.
But also, attending events and tabling and representing the coalition.
Mm-hmm.
We also are looking for additional board members. so if anyone out there, is looking for a way to get involved, definitely head to our website. BerkshireCoalition.org, and there's lots of information of how to get joined up with us. But you can also just email info@BerkshireCoalition.org, and one of our board members will respond.
Great. And another way, sometimes people don't know what they can do. They hear about information, they say, well, if there was just something I could do, but I don't know what I can possibly do. I'm sure if you volunteer and join the organization, they'll find plenty of things for you to help out with. Right?
Yes, I was just going to say, if you're interested or you're not sure how you can help, just ask.
Yeah.
It's more about community coming together to support community.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of feels like the theme of what we've been talking about this morning, too, right? If you don't know, just ask.
Yep.
Break down that barrier.
Yes.
If you sense that there's a problem, don't try and, play it off. Make sure that you can somehow make a difference. And if you feel uncomfortable with doing that, are there good things that people can do to you know, to still make a difference, but you don't feel comfortable actually confronting or talking to someone?
Yeah. So, you know, if you're not comfortable, you know, approaching a loved one or crossing that barrier, you know, we get many people that come to us and ask what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we have magnets that you can put on your fridge that have the 988 number. Mm, you know, we have various different giveaways, water bottles, reusable grocery bags.
All kinds of ways you can do it. Sean Milley, I want to say thank you for being here this morning. Believe it or not, out of time. Amazing how quickly it went. But thank you for this conversation. It's very important. And remember, folks, if you're in crisis, 988 is the right number to call and get you started there. All right. Thanks. Have a great weekend, everybody. And we'll see you again next week. Take care.